worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy, worthy. Our God is worthy. He is worthy. Does he know that? Do I still need to tell him? Yeah. Because it helps me realize what I believe, that he really is worthy, that he really has made an incredible sacrifice, not for his sake, not because he needed to do that, because he wanted to do it for me. And guess what? He wanted to do it for you too, because he loves you. He loves us. He does love us. Have you ever noticed that you struggle with things that you thought you'd have been past by now? Anybody ever still struggle with some stuff that you thought, man, I should be past that by now? We assume that when we reach adulthood that the things we struggled with in adolescence would just no longer be a problem. But yet we still struggle. We think, if I can just get married, it'll make everything better. That's right. Well, I'll tell you, marriage can make a lot of things a whole lot better. I guarantee you that. But if you carry into that marriage the struggles that you've had before marriage, they're going to be amplified. If you have a pornography addiction before you get married, and you think, well, if I just get married, I won't have that, and you don't deal with that, when you get married, guess what? That problem just became a whole lot bigger. If you think, well, if I just become a Christian, then I won't have any more struggles anymore, and no longer will I have any struggles. And then you become a Christian, and you find out there are still struggles. You see, we struggle. We always have struggles. Many Bible characters exemplify this idea of struggle. There's one in particular I want to talk about just briefly this morning. His name is Jacob. Jacob, also known as the deceiver. See, he had a struggle. Matter of fact, Bible tells us that when he was in the womb, even, he was a twin brother, him and Esau, and they were twins. And the Bible tells us that he struggled in the womb. I mean, this was like before even birth. He was already struggling. And at birth, Esau was born first, but Jacob was like grabbing onto his heel, like as if to say, I won't be first. I want to be first. And he was struggling at birth even. And then afterwards, after trying to be first at birth, he struggled to be blessed by his father. He deceived his father to get the blessing that was given to the firstborn. Remember, Jacob wasn't the firstborn. He was trying to be, but he didn't make it first. And so the firstborn was to receive the blessing. Well, he tricked everybody, and he received the blessing. Dad was blind, couldn't really see good, so he thought he was the wrong son. He thought it was Esau. He blessed him. He stole the blessing. Then he struggled to steal Esau's birthright. You know, still being first, he still had certain rights in Esau. He tricked Esau into giving him his birthright for a bowl of beans. And he struggled with that. He struggled. He struggled with an angel of God, wanting to be blessed by God. Matter of fact, when we got up after that struggle, he had a limp and he had a hitch in his get-along for the rest of his life. The Lord touched the socket of his hip or his upper thigh in that area, and it caused him to be limping because he struggled with God. He was struggling all of his life, and some of us can really identify with Jacob. Man, I struggled. From my earliest remembrance, I struggled. And it seems like as if I can ever get over one of my struggles, and I go, whew, I can't even catch my breath because another struggle is waiting for me. And just one after another, like the old saying, when it rains, it pours, we get struggle upon struggle. And I'm struggling, and I'm struggling, and I'm struggling. At 97 years old, Jacob's going to meet with Esau. Now, he's been not seen Esau in about 20 years, okay? Because Esau was pretty upset with Jacob. And Esau was like, I'm going to kill you next time I see you. So Jacob was like 20 years gone, okay? Well, Jacob knew he had to reconcile. He had to reconcile with Esau. So he's coming back after about 20 years of absence. And he knew there was going to be probably a struggle whenever he saw Esau, right? All this because of the continual struggle that Jacob had within himself. I will tell you that any unresolved conflict that you run from will always be waiting for you in the future, just as we saw in Jacob. He had this conflict and he ran from it, but it was always waiting for him when he came back. But what Jacob found while he was wrestling with the angel of God was that his struggle was really not with Esau. You see, he blamed a lot of stuff on Esau, blamed a lot of stuff on dad, blamed a lot of stuff. But his struggle wasn't with all those things. The struggle was within himself. The struggle was internal. It was an internal struggle. I want to tell you that many of the struggles that we have are not really external things, like money. Okay, we struggle with money, yeah. Well, that's really not our struggle. Our struggle is other things. It's habits and things that lead us to not be able to handle money well. We struggle with recognition. We struggle with happiness. We struggle with pleasure. We want to be pleased. We want to be happy. We want to feel good. But it's really not a false identity on where our struggle is. Our struggle is really not those things. Our struggle is more of an inward struggle, like our identity. Maybe it's more of who am I? You see, it's really not, do they love me? Sometimes it comes out and it looks like that. Do they love me? We want to do things and say things and act a certain way so that they will love us. But really, the real struggle is, do I love myself? Sometimes the struggle is not so much, can they forgive me? Sometimes the biggest struggle is, can I forgive myself? Paul, in this book of Philippians, I want you to turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 27 through verse 30. You thought we were going to be in the Old Testament, didn't you? I tricked you. I deceived you. Just call me Jacob. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and following says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. In verse 29 it said, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. It's not one of those verses you just jump up and go, amen! Right? Suffering. What? Struggles. What? Paul is writing to the church in Philippi because he can't go see him. He can't go see him. He's tied up. He's tied up. When you can't go see somebody, the next best thing is to write a letter. Phone calls are good, texts are good, but a heartfelt letter is always best. And I know that's kind of going out of style, but it's never going to go out of effectiveness, and it's a good thing. But Paul couldn't go because he really was tied up. He was in prison. He was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is that important, you may ask? Well, it's very important, and here's why. If Paul had not been in prison, he wouldn't have had to write the letter. He'd have just gone in person, right? But because he was in prison, he had to write them a letter and send it to them, and now we have record of what Paul said. Had Paul not been in prison, he would have just gone to Philippi, met with them, and we may not have had this stuff. We may not have had, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. We wouldn't have had rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We wouldn't have had those things, a record of those things. God uses our struggles to accomplish some great things. I don't want to encourage you in that. Question I have for you this morning, one of the ones I have for you this morning is, What is God doing through your situation right now that he could not do if you were not in your current struggle? What is God doing through your situation right now that he could not do if you weren't in that situation? Maybe your struggle is pretty tight right now and it's pretty hard. And maybe God is teaching you to trust him, to lean on him, to trust his faithfulness. And then when things are all great and hunky-dory, maybe it's harder to do those things because you've got faith in myself. I've got faith in my income. I've got faith in my ability to do these things. But when all that's taken away, sometimes it's then that we realize I really need God. I need that power that we talked about earlier. I need that in my life. Philippians is called one of the happiest books in the Bible. And it was written from a prison cell. Isn't that kind of cute the way God does that? Some of you need to quit blaming your circumstances for your lack of joy and start asking God what he wants to accomplish through you and to you in this time. What does God want to teach me in this time? Sometimes, you know, we're quick to gripe and mumble, complain, right? It's four of you I know out there, and I'm not going to call names, but I know four of you out there that do that from time to time, all right? Myself included. And we're quick to do that. We're quick to complain. And sometimes, all the time, I think we need to stop and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be complaining about this. I just want to seek the Lord. If he's allowed this in my life, it's got to be for some reason. Lord, show me what that reason is. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to get stronger. In verse 27, the first part of this chapter, this passage that we read, he says, whatever happens. Whatever happens. What does that include? Whatever good things happen? Is that what it says? Whatever good things happen, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. See, it's easy to do it then. Woo, praise Jesus, I got a raise. It's easy, right? But whatever also includes the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a struggle. That's a struggle, is it not? We have many different backgrounds in this church. Many different backgrounds in this church. It goes on. It goes, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Okay? We have many different backgrounds in this church. We have folks that come from upper class status, whatever, if that's what society's put there, and maybe lower class over here. We have people that were raised in strong Christian homes. We have people that never had that experience. We have folks that were raised in a house with both mom and dad always present. We've got folks that were raised with either mom or dad, or maybe neither one, and we grew up under somebody else's care. Okay, we have people that are still working. We have people that are retired. We have people that can't work. We have people that won't work. we have all different kinds of backgrounds, right? But we have one mission. Bible says we have one spirit, one Savior. Stand firm in one spirit, one mind, striving or struggling or contending as one. It's a struggle, as striving and contending and struggling together as one for the faith of the gospel. One. It's important. It's important that we do this thing together. All right? And Paul was telling the Philippians the same thing. Look, struggle is inevitable, and it's going to happen. And on your own, it's going to be tougher, so you need one another. Bind together. Come together. Help each other out. I sometimes hear people say they don't need church. They don't need to go to church because, well, I can worship in nature. Right? Has anybody ever heard that? I can worship God in nature. Is that true? Certainly it is. So here's my reply. Go worship God in nature and then come to church too. Amen. Best of both worlds. Because here's the deal. Is that tree, that beautiful tree out of nature, is that tree going to pray for you when you get that bad report from the doctor? Is that flowing stream going to counsel you when you come home to find your kids all mixed up in all kinds of junk and you don't really know what to do? Is that rolling stream going to do those things for you? No, no. But the person to your left, the person to your right, the person across the room in this church, yes, they will. They will. You need some people who are set in place in your life who will join with you in that struggle. If you're here today and you no longer struggle with anything, would you please stand up? We want to recognize you. Yeah. No? Nobody in the room? I mean, I'm standing, but I'm really not in that case. I'll squat down because I'm not included in that either. So we all struggle, right? Turn to the person at your left. Look at them. Now turn to the person on your right. He or she is struggling. He or she is struggling. You see, we need each other. We really do. We need each other. And here's the deal. We really kind of have the same kind of struggles. It may look different. They don't all look the same. But most of them are centered around things like acceptance, approval, and such. It's a wide variety of things, but it's really kind of the same struggles we have. Criticism is one of our biggest struggles. Criticism is one of my biggest struggles. But I heard a preacher on the TV one time say, and I don't listen to a whole lot of TV preachers, but I do from time to time, and this one caught my attention, and I made note of it. He said, "Any external criticism that I've received has only damaged me to the level that my internal security has enabled it." Any external criticism that I've ever received that has damaged me has only damaged me to the point that my internal insecurities allowed it. You see, my struggle is not with that criticism. My struggle is with myself. If I'm strong here and the criticism comes and I know I'm right and I'm okay, then it doesn't affect me as much. You will always have people that don't like you. You will always have people that don't like you. But listen, if you like yourself, it's okay. It's okay. There will always be people. There'll be people that like you. There'll be people that don't like you. But you need to at least like yourself. And if there are some things about yourself you don't like, straighten up. Give it to the Lord, right? Get yourself to where you like yourself. And if you can do that, it really doesn't matter what other people think. You will always have somebody that doesn't like you. You'll always have people that will criticize you, right? Why did Paul say that they had the same struggle? There, the last verse of this passage in verse 30. It says here, "Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." And this kind of puzzled me at first, because where was Paul? In prison. The Philippian church, are they in prison? No. So I'm at the church of Philippi, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading this letter. "Since you're going through the same struggle you saw I have, and now hear that I still have." Wait a minute, Paul. I'm not going through the same struggle that you are. I'm not in prison. You're in jail. I'm free. It's not the same struggle, right? So why did Paul say we have the same struggle? I think there's a few reasons why. I think one of the reasons was to encourage them. To encourage them. You see, if they're still struggling, it means the devil hadn't won. Yeah? If you're in a struggle, let that be your first encouragement. The devil hasn't won. That's right. I'm still struggling because the devil hasn't got me. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you're struggling, let it be an encouragement to you that the devil cannot beat you. He's trying. But I'll tell you something. I've read this book. I've read this book and I know how it ends. If I'm still struggling, it's because the devil's still trying, but he's powerless to destroy me, because like what Paul writes later in this same book, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and he will strengthen me even in my struggles. I believe another reason besides encouragement that Paul wrote that he had the same struggle was for empathy. Empathy. Not sympathy. There's a difference. I'm going to tell you the difference. Sympathy is this. Oh, poor you. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Bless your heart. Empathy is more like, brother, I feel you. I understand. I've been there myself. I am there myself. I feel for you. That's the difference between sympathy and empathy. And Paul empathized with them in order to let them know that they're not alone in their struggle. I'm with you in the struggle. We're in different places, different circumstances, but I'm with you in that struggle. You're not alone. One of the reasons you go through struggles is so that you can empathize with others, so you can give comfort and encourage them. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe the reason I'm going through this struggle is so that I'll have that experience, so that God will use my past experience later in somebody else's life when they're going through a very similar struggle. And I can literally come to them and say, I know, I've been there. And let me tell you, friend, I know the hurt. I know the pain. You're not alone in that. You see, sometimes that's why we go through certain struggles, so that we can help someone else. Give them comfort. Give them encouragement. Sometimes when someone calls you and they're right in the middle of a struggle, maybe it's death, disease, maybe it's family problems, I'll tell you what they don't need right then. They don't need you to outline a 12-step program for them. They don't need 157 verses of Scripture. Okay? They don't need for you to write out a plan for them to get past this and address it. I'll tell you what they need. What they need right there is somebody to say, I feel you. I'm here. When you hurt, I hurt. They need someone to comfort them. The two most powerful words you could say in that situation is not, you should, but me too. Me too. Me too are great, important words. I'm going to show you what that looks like. You might say, I woke up this morning and I just don't feel good. My body aches and it hurts. You can go, me too. Me too. Maybe you come and you hear somebody say, man, I yelled at my kids yesterday. Me too. I know. It's the same struggle. You yelled at them this morning. Me too. You yelled at them on the way to church. Me too. Me too. Man, I've struggled. I can't even talk right. Me too. Maybe it's, man, at my work, I just struggle. They said, I want to live right for Christ, but my surroundings is just tough, and these guys, they talk like sailors, and me too! Maybe it's, I love my wife. I love my wife, and I want to have that great relationship with her, but man, when she gets to picking, you can say, me too! I know. You see, we have these struggles, and they're really the same struggles. And you can empathize with somebody. I know I go to church and I learn, I read my Bible and I pray. But there are some things that I struggle with. I don't. Me too. You see, they don't want to hear. Well, what you need to do is, I can tell you, you need to read your Bible more. They don't need all that. They need somebody to say, you know what? I understand. I'm with you in that. I struggle the same thing myself. Me too. Me too. Me too. Me too. Very strong and powerful words. Me too. It helps us to show empathy with someone. And it's powerful. We need to know that we're not alone in the struggle. We need to know that I'm not the only person in the world that this has ever happened to. We need to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Anybody need to know that? Guess what? Me too. Me too. Me too. And that's just what Jesus did, folks. That's exactly what Jesus did. You see, we can tell God, but yeah, but God, I was born into a sinful world. Jesus says, me too. Me too. Yeah, but Jesus, you don't understand. They criticize me. Jesus says, me too. They ridicule me. Me too. Lord, but I'm so tempted at times. Jesus says, me too. Me too. But I don't have a place to even lay my head. I'm worried if I'm even going to have a place to lay my head tonight. Jesus says, been there. Me too. Me too. But I'm uncomfortable. I don't have everything I want. Me too. I'm rejected, Lord. Me too. I suffer. I'm hated. Jesus says, me too. Me too. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I want you to read something real quick. If I can quickly find out, I didn't mark it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, or empathize, really is the correct word, with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus says, me too. Me too. And I'll tell you something that's even better than that. For those of us, and those of you that have trusted Christ for your salvation, we get to say, me too as well. We get to say that too, because not only did he suffer, he was resurrected and he ascended to heaven for all of eternity in victory. And guess what? Me too! Me too! It's one thing when you've got somebody who has it all together, has always had it together, grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth, and it looks like, okay, remember we all have struggles, but it looks like they never have had any struggles, and they're trying to tell you, oh yeah, yeah, I've been there myself, friend. And you're like, oh, get out of town. You ain't got a clue. But Jesus really can say, me too. Me too. Me too. I think the third reason for the struggles that we go through is to make us stronger. The struggle makes you stronger. Yeah? Who was it that said that which doesn't kill me only makes me stronger? Well, guess what? The struggles sometimes are there to build us up, to strengthen us. If a guy's in a weight room, okay, and I'm just talking like this because I'm a guy and I spend a lot of time in the weight room. If you don't struggle with the weights that are heavy, you never get to where it becomes easier. You never build that strength. You can never progress to heavier weights until you struggle sometimes, right? You learn a bicycle and you got to struggle with it and you fall and you get scraped knees and elbows. But then you keep working through that, and you struggle and struggle and struggle, and finally you're riding your mountain bike down the dirt road, and it doesn't matter if it's gravel or rocks or whatever it is. You've got it down. You see, we struggle through things to get through them. Jesus, he struggled. He struggled in the garden right before his crucifixion. You ever read about that? He struggled. He struggled. He was praying to God, praying so hard and fervently. The Bible says it was like sweat drops of blood that were coming out. And he was just, oh, he was very intense. He was struggling with this thought. And he was struggling with the idea of, Lord, if there's any other way, I know the cross is out there. If there's any other way Tell me now. I will do it. Please let this cup pass from me if there's any other way. Nonetheless, not what I want. Whatever you want. There was a struggle. A struggle. But when he worked through that struggle and he surrendered himself to God's will, that strengthened him and made it possible for him to face the cross with resolution and determination. When he surrendered himself to God's will, not his will, right? If you will surrender to God's will, you can face your future with resolution and determination also. And if that's your will, God, me too. If that's your will, God, I don't like it. I don't think it's going to be real great and comfortable for me. But if that's your will, me too. I'm in. And it gives you that strength to go forward, even into a situation that looks bad, may not look comfortable or feel comfortable. You can walk into it and say, as long as God is with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's His will, and I know He's with me, look out. Here we come. Me too. Me too. I should have titled this message, Me Too. Me too. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 talks about one of the wills of God. You know, several times in Scripture we have very specific things about what God's will is. And then sometimes one of the struggles that we have today is, well, God, what is your will in this? Because there's not a situation like that in the Bible, and I don't know, you know, the Bible doesn't really speak real clearly to what your will for me in this is. Should I eat the chocolate cake or the vanilla cake? Which one is your will, God? Maybe it's His will you don't eat any cake. I don't know. But maybe He wants you to have the chocolate. Maybe He wants you to have the vanilla. I don't know. But we struggle with these things. I use that simply. You know, maybe it's the job over here. Or maybe it's this job over here. Maybe it's, do I date this person? Or do I date this person? Yeah? Real stuff? It's a struggle. And the Bible's not real clear. Bible doesn't say, you know, little Susie, in Proverbs 32, chapter 9, or chapter or verse 6, it doesn't say Susie should date Henry. It's not in there because Proverbs 32 doesn't exist, by the way, in case you didn't catch that. It's not there. And we struggle with, well, what do I do? But I'll tell you something. If you'll surrender to God's will, and say, whatever your will is, Lord, I will do it. He will direct your paths. He will lead you and guide you through that. If you surrender to God's will, you will receive the strength for the struggle and the victory through Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of that chapter 3 of 2 Peter says, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes it's not so clear, chocolate or vanilla. Sometimes it's very clear. God's will is that none should perish, but that all should have to come to repentance. Maybe you've done that. And maybe you haven't. This morning, I want to ask you a question. If God specifically says His will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, will you agree with God in that and say, me too? If that's your will, that I should come to repentance and not die and spend eternity as separated from you in hell, you want me to be with you? That's what I want too. Me too. Me too. Is that you today? Oh, what an awesome day for you would be if that's the case. Y'all remember Jacob we talked about way back in the beginning of this message? When he finally got to the point where he said, not what I want. I want the blessing. Yeah, I wanted the blessing. I wanted to be first. I wanted this. I wanted that. I wanted it all. But Lord, no longer is it what I want. What do you want from me? You see, that was his struggle the whole life. His whole life was, I want, I want, I want. Well, when he finally got through that struggle And it was no longer what I want, but what do you want, God? You see, at that point, he didn't have to worry about Esau anymore. Matter of fact, if you read on, when he saw Esau, Esau welcomed him. Esau loved him. In spite of their history. What do you need to surrender today? What do you need to turn over today? What do you need to, what have you been struggling with? What are you struggling with today? What does God want to use that struggle for? Lots of questions, right? I mean, we all said we struggle, every one of us, right? Because nobody stood up, nobody raised their hand. So we all struggle with stuff. Why is that? What is it for? What is God trying to teach me through that? What is my struggle? Is my struggle trying to get to heaven on my own? Quite possibly. But you need to understand that the Bible's very clear in that and says you can't do it. You can struggle all you want, but you can't do it. And our struggle sometimes is our pride. And our pride is saying, well, I'm a man. I should be able to do that on my own. I don't need help. Matter of fact, I'm going to refuse all the help that anybody offers me because I'm going to do this on my own. And God says, it's not possible. It cannot happen. But I've made a way. I've made a way. If you'll set that pride you've got built all around you as a shell, if you'll just kind of take that off and walk over here, you don't need all that pride anyway because I've already done it all for you. See, I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, a sacrifice that you can't even make on your own because you're not good enough to make a perfect sacrifice. I am, and I've done that because your sin has condemned you to hell for all of eternity. I really don't want that for you, God's saying, but in order for you to receive my gift, you've got to come open it up. You got to step up and receive the gift. You got to. That's why we say receive Christ. It's a gift. It's not your gift until you receive it. But God has offered that to you. Is that you today? Quit struggling with all the other stuff. Come to a state of dependence and say, I can't do this on my own, and I need you. I need you. Come. Save me. Maybe your struggle is, I just don't see the Lord's direction. I just can't. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. And I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. Maybe you just need to come, spend some time at the altar, and ask him. Get on your hands and knees. Really, stop trying to figure it out in your head and say, Lord, show me. I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to ask you to show me, and then I'm going to open up your word. The reason we call this the word of God is because this is how he speaks to us. One of the ways, the primary way, I believe God speaks to us. Sometimes we say, God, speak to me, speak to me. And he says, well, open up my word. I've already written it. Read about it. No, no, I don't want to do that. I want you to tell me, show me. Lord, I really want to know. Well, then read my book. Yeah, show me and teach me and show me. And God gets a little frustrated with us sometimes. It's like, he's like, you don't understand. You're looking for a new word when you don't even know what the old word says. You're looking for something new and something fresh today when you don't even know what I've told you yesterday. You don't even know what I've already written and said. The answer is there. Find it. Ask somebody to help you find it. Remember that part about we're in this struggle together? We are, folks. I'm not going to make light of the struggle because it's a real struggle. Our struggles are real, and they really hurt, and they're really hard. Me too. We're in this together. We're to help one another out. We're to lift one another up. We're to pray for one another. We're to encourage one another. Folks, we need to be doing that. We need to be doing that. If you're not currently doing that, you need to hook up with somebody. If you're not allowing somebody else to do that for you, you need to set that junk down. Get on your knees and first begin with repenting and say, God, remove this pride from me so that I can receive the help that you're trying to help me through these people. Yeah. And that's a struggle. I know. But you're not alone in that struggle. Because me too. What are you struggling with today? What are you struggling with today? There are answers. I would be glad and I'd love to help you find them. And it may be even an answer that I don't know. But we'll find it together. Maybe you need to come. And just like I said before, get on your face before the Lord. Pour your heart out to him and say, Lord, you know I'm struggling. And if you're trying to teach me through this, something through this, Lord, I'm not getting it. Help me to understand. Real stuff. What's your struggle? Father, help us. Lord, help us to understand that you're not just this God who set things in motion and you're just kicked back in your lazy boy, watching us, laughing at us sometimes, mocking us, shaking your head at us. Oh, Father, you're on the edge of your seat, just waiting to reach out your hand to help us if we would only ask. Father, help us to ask. Help us to understand. Help us to want to understand. Father, help us to seek you. Oh, I can't get the song out of my head, a song that we were singing before church ever even started this morning. The more I seek you, the more I find you. Lord, help me to seek you. I know you said that when we seek you with all our heart, you will be found. The doors will be open if we'll just knock. Father, help us to be willing to do that. Lord, I pray for someone in this room right now. Father, I don't know who they are, but Father, I can't help but believe in a room this size with this many people that there's somebody here who's never given their heart and their life to you, Father. And I pray that today would be their day. Father, I also know that there's probably somebody in this room that struggles, and their biggest struggle is with themselves. It's not do they love me, but do I love myself? Father, convince them that they can love themselves because you loved them first. And you loved them more than anybody else ever will. And you made them. Father, this is your time. And Father, I pray that you have spoken to us. I know you've spoken to me, Father. And I pray that you've spoken to other people and that they have heard you. And Father, I pray that now they wouldn't struggle with what to do, but they would come and they would lay it at your feet. I pray, Father, that the altar would be filled. I pray, Father, that people would change their attitudes and turn things over to you, Father. I pray that people would be willing to give up the struggle of what do I do, and they would become resolute in that, Father, and they would say, whatever it is, and I may still struggle with things, but I'm going to follow God's leadership. Father, help us today. Help us to respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing? We're going to be here just a few moments. We're not going to tarry long, but we'll be here as long as it takes. This is your time. You respond as the Spirit has already led you to. Don't let that be a struggle with you anymore. Respond now as the Spirit leads.